Book of Daniel, chapter number 4. Daniel, chapter number 4. I want to speak on the subject tonight of the remarkable salvation of a pagan king. Daniel, chapter 4. It's remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable that this pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, came to knowledge about Jesus Christ. It's amazing when you think about that. Now, before we begin reading, I really wanted to preach a message on the people of the Bible. And I wanted to bring out this point that these are real people. Sometimes we don't understand how we do understand that. But sometimes when we see people around us, we don't put the people in the Bible like them. Does that make sense? But they are real. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar is a real person. He was alive and well. We think of him as being a character in the Bible. We think of Daniel as being a character in the Bible, but these are real men. They knew each other. They were well acquainted with each other. They were just like me and you today. We know you. You know me and I know you, right? Same way with Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. They knew each other. And you'll see as we study this tonight that they were very... they were very close to each other. It's not just that Daniel knew Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar knew him. It's more than that. But they were really, really close. And we'll see that as you read Daniel chapter number 4. But the people in the Bible were confronted with evil, just as we are. There is no difference there at all. But I still have that subject on my mind, is preaching about how the people are real in the Bible. But tonight we want to look just at Nebuchadnezzar. That's it. Just look at Nebuchadnezzar and see the relationship between Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. This time frame is a very remarkable frame. It's a very remarkable thing to think about it. Before we read any passage at all, Daniel chapter 4 was written in 570 B.C. That's 570 years before Jesus Christ. That's what that means, B.C., before Christ. I know there's some Latin terms in there, but I just use before Christ because I'm not a Latin guy at all. But this story was told just 8 years before Nebuchadnezzar died. Just 8 years. You might say this is one of those times that it looked like that he would never be saved. But just 8 years before his death, this is what he wrote. And he wrote this himself. It wasn't written by somebody else, but he wrote this. I mean, what? Nebuchadnezzar? Yeah. He wrote it. It's a letter that he's written. That's what it's all about. He wrote to people. But this story really begins 5 years, about 8 years before 570 B.C. So in 578, this is talking about the time when Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he couldn't find anybody to answer it. And then Daniel answered it. By the grace of God, he answered it. And then 1 year later, the 7 years began when Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. So with all that being said, let's read verse 1, 2, and verse number 3. Daniel 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king. I wonder why he puts that there. He wants to get their attention. I'm Nebuchadnezzar, I'm your king. And he wants to tell them a story. He said, unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in the earth. Could he really say that? Babylon at that time had filled the world. He could say that. And when this letter was received, it was received, I would imagine, with some terror on the heart of people, because he had wrote before and scared people silly about his proclamations and what he was going to do. But now he's writing a different kind of letter. He says, now, peace be multiplied unto you. The word multiply there means, you know what that means, not like adding. When we add, that's all we can do. But God is one that multiplies to us, okay? In verse number 2, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me. I would imagine as people read that second sentence, they begin to think, what's he talking about? What in the world is this guy wanting us to do now? What kind of new tax has he got for us now? Verse number 3. How great are his signs, explanation point. And how mighty are his wonders, another explanation point. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. He's talking here about a God that is over him. And he is, in verse number 1, he is their king. And so here's a king writing to people about who's over him. That's really what it's all about. And in this letter, he tells about what happened. A most remarkable passage is Daniel 4, verse 1 through 3. Because this letter is not like any other letter that these people had received at all. It's like no letter he had ever written before. It's a different kind of letter. It's a humble letter. It's a letter that tells the truth about him and his pride and how God brought it all down. But when it all gets brought down, he's real happy about it. You know why he's happy? Because that is what brought him to know Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to say that's what brought him to salvation. I don't know if he ever knew Jesus, or the man. I don't know about that. But I know that he knew salvation. Absolutely so. Verse number 4 down through verse number 7 records that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he called in all of his wise men to give an interpretation of the dream. But there's no interpretation given. Read Daniel 4, verse number 4. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. So everything was going good. I saw a dream which made me afraid. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me. that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. So it was met with failure. But look in verse number 8. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and he whom the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying. Beginning in verse number 9, he records all about his dream. But Daniel was the last one to come in. He said, O Belteshazzar, and notice, now he's speaking to Daniel in particular. Nobody else evidently is there. If they are, it doesn't make Daniel any difference because he's watching for the interpretation of the dream. That's what he's praying about. He says, Master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. So he was sleeping, or he's laying down at least, when this vision came to him. He said, I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. Now Daniel is listening to all this. I think with rapt attention, he's listening as Nebuchadnezzar tells him all the dream. And this is important to understand, that Daniel is paying attention to all the details of the dream. You know why? Because the king has asked him for the interpretation of it. And Daniel intends to give him God's interpretation. At this point, Nebuchadnezzar's lost. I mean, he's lost. But him and Daniel are friends. And so Daniel is paying attention to what he's saying. Verse number 11. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. Look at that. And as Daniel's listening to all this, he's saying, yes. Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. He knows that the dream that Nebuchadnezzar has is of his own kingdom, and how that every nation is flourished because of the king of Babylon. He understands that. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. So now there's another person that's entered into the scene that is greater than Nebuchadnezzar, a watcher from heaven. Verse number 14. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off the branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit, lest the beasts get away from underneath it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, so he's, in verse 14, he's saying, cut it all down, cut it all, I want it all destroyed, but I want you to leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. Those are both metals are symbolic of the tightness that God wants it to be held to be. The iron and the brass both. In the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with a beast of the grass of the earth. That is, so this is talking about his kingdom here. How that God wanted the kingdom to be kept secure. And I'll tell you what. God is the only one that can keep a kingdom secure when a pagan king is not over it. Understand. God is the one that watches over all of that. It's not us. God is the one that controls all of that. In verse number 16, he said this, "Let his heart be changed from man's." His heart. What do you mean there? He means his mind. That's another use of the word. He's talking about his mind. "And let a beast's heart be given unto it, and let seven times pass over him." That's 7 years. "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." Well, what a story that is. He said in verse number 17, God himself has determined this. And the reason is because everybody ought to know that God sets up the basest of men, the worst. Who's writing this song? Who's writing that? Nebuchadnezzar. He is saying that he's really saying here that he is the basest, the worst of men. That's what he's really saying. And he's got a reputation among the people. In verse number 18, he said, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now therefore, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." In verse number 18, I wonder if any of the wise men had come up with any kind of scheme that they could put into that. I wonder. But I know this as well. None of them did. They could have. But there comes a day of reckoning for all of that. And the men were kept quiet because Daniel would give the interpretation. I think God worked in that to shut these men's mouths, to close their minds. They would not even give a hint of what the interpretation of the dream really was. But notice in verse number 19. Verse number 19 is a very remarkable verse. "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee." Belteshazzar, that is Daniel, answered and said, "My Lord, the dream be for them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies." Now, reading that passage, you can put any kind of inflection on the words that you want to put. You can cause Nebuchadnezzar to have a great hard verb, a hard look at all that, and say hard things. You could also have Daniel saying hard things back to the king. But I don't think it's that way. I really don't think it's that way. When I read that, in verse number 19, we'll find this. that King Nebuchadnezzar saw that Daniel was astonished for 1 hour. What does that word astonished mean? It means he was stunned. Daniel was absolutely, when he heard the dream, and he knew the interpretation of it, he was absolutely stunned. He was appalled at what he knew. His thoughts troubled him, which means that his thoughts really frightened him. Not for the state of the nation, not for that at all. But I think that Daniel was concerned about Nebuchadnezzar. He was alarmed. It caused him to be in much disarray and to be dismayed. For 1 hour, he was that way. And then the king, in verse number 19, spoke and said, and I think he said this because he wanted Daniel to be at ease and not upset at all. You know, somebody thinks that preaching is easy. Somebody thinks that telling the truth is easy. Somebody thinks that standing up and saying to people what is right is a simple thing. Somebody thinks it's no problem at all. The only thing is, it's not. It's hard sometimes to stand up before people and to just tell the truth. To tell what God wants you to say. It's hard to do that. It's difficult. We need to understand that is so. Daniel was having this kind of trouble right here because he knew the interpretation of the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't know the interpretation of it. And so he said to him, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof, don't let it trouble you. Don't let you be concerned about that at all. And then Daniel answered and said, look what he said. He said, my Lord, this is not swear words. He was saying this to Nebuchadnezzar. He was saying, my Lord, you're my master, but the dream is not for you. The dream is for those that hate you. The interpretation is to your enemies. I think in this verse 19, it shows us, it shows me at least, the way that Daniel really thought about this pagan king. This pagan king was lost. He was lost. He had done many, many things in his lifetime that was bad. If you read the scriptures very much, and you'll find Nebuchadnezzar's name turned up, you'll find that he did many, many, many bad things. And Daniel's recognizing all that. He's still saying, you're the one that I'm under. You're my master. That's what he's really saying. Think of this. Can you make an application today to the government that we're under? We are believers, but our government is not a believer. Our government is led primarily by pagans who do all kinds of wicked, mean things and say a lot of bad things that they're going to do, and they will do it. Do you love them as Daniel loved Nebuchadnezzar? Say, be quiet. Do you love them? Can you say to them, you are my master? And they are. It's much better, you would say, if we had a government over us that we could really follow. But we don't. I mean, we don't. But that does not mean that we should not recognize them and have respect unto them because they are our leaders. I don't believe they're leading us in the right way. But that does not mean that I have the right to ridicule them or to make fun of them. Daniel did not make fun of Nebuchadnezzar. He did not say, you're getting everything you deserve, but if it was up to me, I would give you more. He didn't say that. Instead, Daniel said, my Lord, this is what he said. He called him, you're my master. He said, the dream be for them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. That's what he said. And then he begins to tell him what will happen. I think that God wants us to be more like Daniel and less like us. I know it's tough. But I think God used Daniel in his life, and God kept him. God protected him. You understand that God protected Daniel even during this time? The interpretation of the dream was such that Nebuchadnezzar could have, if he would have wanted to, he could have just said, okay, kill this man right here. I want a good interpretation. He didn't do that, though. He didn't do that at all. Rather, he listened to what Daniel had to say. In verse number 20, the Bible says that Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar the right interpretation. I don't know how he said this. I don't know how Daniel's voice came across. But I think the result of all this is what I'm thinking of, is the result of all of this, that Nebuchadnezzar never struck out at Daniel at all. He never tried to hurt him at all, even though Daniel gave him this bad interpretation. It's bad for him. I pray that we might so utter the condemnation that people are rightly under in such a way that they will understand that we don't hold anything against him at all. It's not us that people must conform to. Rather, it is God that they must conform to. We must conform to what God wants us to do, and nothing else. In verse number 20, Daniel says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. Verse number 22, it is thou. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong for the greatness, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. In verse number 22, he said, And somebody would say, well, do you think here that Daniel pointed a finger at Nebuchadnezzar? I don't. I really don't. I wouldn't. Do you have any lost friends that you talk to? You don't point fingers at them, do you? Say, oh, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. You're going to hell. You don't do it. You don't do it that way. Daniel didn't either. I don't think Daniel did it that way. I think Daniel had compassion for the man. I don't know if Daniel had tears in his eyes as he spoke this verse or not. In verse number 22. I don't know. But he spoke the truth. And that's what people need to hear is the truth. And verse number 23. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, and leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king. Daniel is saying there that the interpretation of the dream is what God gives. God knows the future. Daniel didn't. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know it either. But he's saying here, this is the interpretation that God will give to all these things that are happening. You know this. So this is what God says. It's not what I say. It's what God is saying. And we'll bear that out a little bit further on. Verse number 25. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it and whomsoever he will. Notice, in verse number 25, he says specifically here, notice the times that the word they appears, that they shall drive thee from men, and they shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee until you know. There are some enemies, no doubt, that want this to happen. But in verse number 26 is another part of the prophecy that God gave to Belshazzar, to Nebuchadnezzar in this dream. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Amazing dream. And all of this was for one reason. I think the reason for all of this is to draw Nebuchadnezzar to the Lord. I think that's the only reason. To know that God rules. You don't rule. You may think you rule, but you really don't. God rules. In verse number 27, I think is an amazing passage. Verse number 27. Here is Daniel as he gives his opinion. And this is Daniel's opinion. To a pagan king, to an unbeliever, if you would. This is like us talking to someone that's lost, that has rebelled against God, and has a lot of good things in this life. They have everything a heart could wish. How do you witness to them? You witness to them with compassion upon your heart. And they can see your compassion. I don't know how Daniel spoke these words, but I would imagine that he spoke them full of compassion and warning Nebuchadnezzar to understand what he was facing in his life. In verse 27, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee." Here's Daniel, who is giving counsel to a king, his king. He said, "Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor." It may be that the Lord will put off for a while a lengthening of thy tranquility. The God may put this off for a little while. We don't know. But that's what he prayed for. That's what he asked Nebuchadnezzar about. But that's the letter, part of the letter that Nebuchadnezzar writes. That's included in the scriptures. In verse number 28, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. I would imagine that as Nebuchadnezzar's readers would read the letter, they would be amazed at what he was saying here. And he said, "This came upon me." It's a personal testimony to how great God is and how much he can control of us. That's what it is. In verse number 29, "At the end of 12 months, that's a year. Time rocked on. And after a while, Nebuchadnezzar forgot the dream. He forgot the friendship that between him and Daniel. 12 months went by. And he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?'" That's what he was saying. He was saying, "Look what all I've done. I have done it all." But notice the next verse. How that before he got through speaking, what happened? "While the word was in the king's mouth," I think he said all this, "but while the word was yet in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee.'" That's it. God is in charge. He is the one that determines who is over who. God is. We are not. We're just puppets, you might say, on his string. I'm glad that I'm that kind of person. I'm glad that he controls everything. In verse number 32, "And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." See, the verse 32, that shows up the "they" again. They're going to do this to you. They'll do it. The same hour, the same time that Nebuchadnezzar said, "Look at all I've done," the same hour it was done unto him, "was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. His feet was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws." So that could never happen to me. I'm in control. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're in control, all right. But notice, in verse 31, while the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, God is in control. God knows exactly what we're thinking right now. God knows exactly what we're doing right now. God knows all about us. We can't get away from God. He is everywhere. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's all-doing. God knows us. He knows Nebuchadnezzar. He knew he was a lost man. He knew he was full of pride. He was full of arrogancy. He was full of rebellion against God because he thought, nobody's bigger than I am. Nebuchadnezzar, he ruled over this world. A world leader. But God has a way of bringing even them down. God has a way of teaching people. And we ought to learn that. Our dependence is on God, not on anything else. There is a 7-year gap between verse 33 and verse number 34. A 7-year gap of days and nights, of cold and heat, of snow and rain and sunshine and all that, that we don't know anything about. The Bible has not recorded that for us. I think it's not for us to know. But the Bible said, here's something that we do need to know. In verse number 34. And imagine if you lived in this time. If you lived about the year 5-7 and you got a letter such as this. Your country got a letter. This would, today, this would shake up. I mean, it would really shake up the international news. The internet would be ablaze with this news. But they didn't have internet back then. But I think when the people understood this, this went out all over the place real quick. In verse number 34, here's what Nebuchadnezzar did at the end of the 7 years. Here's what he did. And I want you to read this and understand it very carefully. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, he said, this is what he did. I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And what did he do next? When he had right understanding, what did he do? Oh, he's going to take over his kingdom now. No, that's not what he does. He's going to go back to where he was before. No, that's not what he does. He said, at the end of the kingdom, at the end of that 7 years, he lifted up his eyes in heaven, he had his understanding back, and what did he do next? He blessed the Most High. He praised God. He glorified God. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. This is what he wrote. This is his story, if you would. This is his detail of his life. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. This is what he said at the end of the 7 years when he had his right mind again. He really had his right mind. In verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Notice what he says there. And all, not half of them, not just the elites, not just the non-elites, but all the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to the will, to his will in the army of heaven. That's what God does. This world is controlled by God. Do you understand that God is in control? That we're not? Do you understand that the Democrats are not in control? Do you understand that the Republicans are not in control? Do you understand that? Do you know that? You're listening to me. Do you understand it? God is in control. He takes care of everything. I mean, things that are impossible, God is able to control. He says, He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. So God is not only in control of the people in heaven, the army of heaven, He's also in control of the inhabitants of the earth. God is in control. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, What doeth thou? God is the one that we worship. Daniel knew that before. Daniel knew that 8 years before. That's what he told to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand it. It's shown to us a year later when Nebuchadnezzar bragged about the kingdom was all his. And look at all I've done. There's no way that anybody is bigger than God. There's no way anybody can know more than God. In verse 36, here's what happened. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. Read this. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. It was not that Daniel sought, or that Nebuchadnezzar sought unto them. It wasn't that way at all. It was they sought him. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. As men can add, they add that excellent majesty. Who's in charge? God is in charge. God is the one that we need to recognize. He's the one that's over us. Nobody else. I think it's remarkable. In this pagan kingdom of Babylon, that nobody tried to take over. Well, I want to change it a little bit. That nobody was successful if they tried to take over. I'll say it like that. Because somebody probably did. But God held them back. Because Nebuchadnezzar is the real king. And he has some time yet to rule and reign. God will also continue to work even during the 7 years of tribulation that will come upon all this earth. He will continue to work. God is in charge and He controls. In verse number 37, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. I don't know how in the world He could ever put it any other way. How could you find other words to express? How could He ever express it any greater? I don't know how. He says, I praise, I extol, I honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth. All whose works are truth. And His ways, judgment. And those that walk in pride, He is able to abase. That last part of verse 37 is what Nebuchadnezzar wrote about himself. I think he wrote that about himself. Because he was walking in pride when he said in verse number 30, he said, Is not this great Babylon, that I have built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty. In verse number 30, there is pride. There is a ton of pride there that this man exhibited. But that's why he wrote in verse number 37, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Notice also in this whole letter, in this whole letter that Nebuchadnezzar wrote, there's not a hint of any kind of threat that he makes toward anybody. He doesn't do that. He doesn't make writing accusations against anybody. Not against Daniel, not against any of the kingdoms. None of that. You think Daniel was a changed man? I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was a changed man? Boy, I think he was. I think he was a totally different guy. Totally different. I think he was saved. That's my opinion. I might be wrong, but he honored God. And 8 years later, Nebuchadnezzar would die. God used him in his life. As a lost man, God had his hand on him. And God moved him around. And God allowed him to accomplish his will. God allowed him to meet some of his people. Jeremiah, for example, met Nebuchadnezzar. And others met him as well. It's remarkable. When you think about the only way a person can be saved is when God touches their heart. When God makes them different. That's what we're looking at. Is a man that God touched and God changed. That's all I've got. If you're lost tonight, we pray for you that the Lord would touch your heart, that you might see Him as the Most High God. He's the only one there is, and He can watch over and bless you, and He can curse you as well. But if you submit yourself to God, you'd be much better off. Just submit yourself to God and let God take charge of your life. Don't have any little corners that you're in charge of. Give God all of it. He wants it all. And He can bless you in ways that you never even thought about. And that's our prayer that you might understand that. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer, if you would, before dismissed. Our Father, I pray, Lord, that you might bless me tonight. I pray, Lord, you might bless this message according to your own will, that you might touch us. Lord, help us to live the way you want us to live. Help us be right and true before you. I pray for those who are lost tonight, that they might see the need of you, that they might come to you in saving faith, trust you, that they might find eternal life. Forgive us for our sins. Watch over us, Lord, and keep us safe in your everlasting arms. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.